This is Watch the Media from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in the College of Journalism and Mass Communications and the studios of 90.3 FM KRNU.
Tratan de hacer ese movimiento fuerte. Se mantienen siempre en donde empezaron, en la yarda número 20, Quique, y aquí Northwestern está viéndose la vida cuadritos. Nebraska los están frenando, los están deteniendo, no les están permitiendo movilizar ese boide, los neutralizan a estas alturas.
We are now joined by the owner, El Jefe, the big boss, the chief, the CEO of Tico Productions in Kansas City, Oscar Monterroso. I'm John Schrader. Oscar, thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome, John. It's a pleasure to be here, you know, sharing a little bit of what we do here.
So I'm curious now, just to get this started, we met here a couple of years ago when you and your broadcast partner were here in Lincoln to broadcast a Huskers football game, but you also broadcast the Kansas City Chiefs games. But more than that, you do much more than that with Tico Productions. Can you give us just a little bit of an idea of what you do there and what it's all about?
Yeah, definitely. So Tico Productions started as a need that I saw in the community about producing videos that will actually appeal for the story that needed to be told. My beginning of the career was in news. It was Telemundo, Univision, Fox, ABC here in Kansas City. And there was several times where we were able to go and cover a story. It was either like donations or very positive community-driven stories. But because if it was news, it would suddenly be cut off and be like, we need to cancel that story because there's a fire going on somewhere else, or there was an accident, or there was a shooting. So all these good stories were always never, you know, told. Maybe later on, when there was a very slow time on news, then they'll go back and do those regular stories. But I always wanted to be the one that handles or was able to control the storytelling. So that's where Tico Productions came out to life. Started doing some pro bono work with Cristo Rey High School. He was the Dancing with the Stars with the KC Stars. And that's where I started doing some pro bono work. So that's how, you know, Tico started. But from there, it started growing into what we do now. So we are more like a full service, a multilingual agency here, you know, in Kansas City, Missouri, as you mentioned. And we specialize in cause marketing, graphic design, video production, a lot of creative strategy and in social media as well. And this, we're able to help companies and agencies to arrive to a very innovative and culturally inspire ideas that drive people to action. So that's what, you know, being in news kind of translated to controlling the story. And now we've just grown into all this big marketing company that we not only do video, but, you know, like I say, with the graphic design, and we implement all that. So everything that I have learned through my years in TV and experience and the whatever you have inside that is the eye for photography or the eye for videography on framing and thing, color, shapes, you know, Sharpies, all that comes together to make sure that, you know, we help our clients and deliver the message that they need.
So in the beginning, the idea was to make sure that a certain audience, certain segment of the population, a certain maybe underserved population was being served. That was the idea in the beginning. And that population clearly was the Spanish language population, correct?
Right. Yeah, that is correct.
Who is your directed audience now? Who are you targeting now with the work you do?
We still target, you know, the Latino market or the Hispanic market. You know, sometimes they ask me, is Latino or Hispanic? You know, both of them should be okay, right? So I always say Latino and then Hispanic. That's the final, you know, audience that we have, especially with Tico Sports, for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, in Spanish, and the other teams that we do the broadcast as well. Now, with this, with Tico Productions, we are able to use that segment of the market as well, you know, to deliver the message. But our message goes for the English speaking as well. So we have different clients that we have worked with, you know, with the Kansas City, Missouri Health Department is one of them. We have developed, there was a time we developed, it was a message delivered for the HPV. And we actually hire one of the local artists, which is Messner Puppets, to create puppets and do the storytelling on that way. And it was in English and then in Spanish. So we don't really focus only on the Hispanic or the Latino market, but we are pretty wide open to all markets.
Kind of a general question here about generations and consumption of media. Does this Gen Z, do you believe consume media, even if their parents speak Spanish or they speak Spanish? Do they consume media in English or in Spanish or in both?
Both. Yeah. And one of the things is that they consume the media mostly in their mobile devices. That's what they go for. They use Facebook, they use Twitter, they use Instagram, they use TikTok. I mean, they're evolving with the whole technology that, I mean, it's like phones. Every 6 months, there's something new, right? So they just evolve with it, and they do it bilingual. One, because the kids are going to school, they have to learn English. And at home, they speak Spanish because either grandma or abuelita or abuelito, they speak Spanish and they have to, you know, communicate. This is way different from back of 30 or 40 years ago, where even parents will tell the kids, don't speak Spanish, mijo, don't speak Spanish, because, you know, that's going to put you on, you know, on the spotlight, you know. No, now is more like you have to be bilingual, maybe, I don't know, trilingual. You know, or if you can learn a fourth language, you know, that's a new thing, you know.
So how much different then is it when you started here, when you said you started in news, was it only Spanish language? Is that all you did in the beginning?
Yes. At the beginning, it was working at Telemundo. That was Telemundo 60 back in San Antonio, Texas. And that was, you know, I felt comfortable because it was the Spanish part of it. I still have an accent now, but back then my English was not as good as right now. You know, I mean, it has taken time, but yes, it was Spanish, and it was focused on the, you know, Spanish media for Telemundo. And from there, you know, I learned how to shoot videos, white balance, framing, the importance of having good audio, you know, with a microphone and all that. I got good interviews and stuff like that. So from there, it was Telemundo first, and then it was a jump to Univision, which was a bigger TV station in San Antonio, Texas. I believe it was Univision 23 is Dallas, it's 41. It was in San Antonio, Texas. And from there, I spent more time there. I spent more times in San Antonio Univision. And that's when I asked if I could do a little bit more, just not being behind cameras, but being in front of the cameras. When I did I did the weekends there for maybe less than a year. It was doing the sports anchoring for Univision. And that's where I actually got exposed to the football americano, to the American football, you know, which is, you know, handball. So.
So the savvy among us would recognize Tico as a connection to Costa Rica. You're originally from Costa Rica. How did you end up in the USA?
Well, my parents are, they've been ministers for the Church of the Nazarene. So since I was a little kid, I always heard about Kansas City. And that was because missionary groups, you know, they work at Witness, they will go to either Guatemala or Costa Rica, and they will do, you know, missionary work, build churches and all that. So a lot of the people were from Kansas City. Since being a little kid, I always had that idea or dream that I wanted to go to school in the United States. but the opportunity was never there. I mean, there was no family here. All my family is actually from Guatemala. I was the only one that was born in Costa Rica, but there was an opportunity that my parents got when they were being missionaries in Costa Rica to come over to United States and minister one of the Hispanic church in Amarillo, Texas. And that was the connection. So part of the relationship there was, you know, they came over here. So parents said, you guys want to come over with us? And so like, yeah, sure, we go over there. And kind of like, we were just going to wing it. We arrived to United States. And as soon as we arrived to United States, we started looking into universities. I remember there was one in California. It was Point Loma Nazarene University. It was beautiful. I mean, you had at the edge, you know, you got the beach and you got all that nice, but it was too expensive. Plus, we wanted to be a little closer to my parents as well. We went to Southern Nazarene, did the application. And because my parents were part of the being missionaries of the part of the Church of the Nazarene, there was a scholarship that was given to us. So we decided to go to Southern Nazarene. What I said we decided was because my brother was going too. So my brother went to that university too. So we went there and embraced it. We just, of course, there was a culture shock for coming to United States. We knew English. We took English classes back in Costa Rica, but it was the conversational type of English. You know, I consider my grammar in English pretty decent. But I remember the first time I went to Walmart to buy something. So like, I know this, I got this. I went, I got into the cashier lane and then I put the stuff down. I don't remember what it was, but when it was my turn, the cashier went, look at me, and it sounded like this. Wah, 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 wah. You know, like Snoopy classroom.
Yeah.
My hearing was awful. I couldn't understand. And then she looked at me and she realized that I was lost. And she goes, mijo, no te preocupes. I speak Spanish. Yo hablo español. And then we did the whole thing in Spanish. But I knew that even though I knew how to write and I did all these things, you know, I thought that I knew, it was a culture shock because I couldn't really understand. So having to train my hearing back again into listening and being able to understand, comprehend, and be able to talk back, oh, that was a huge learning curve.
So when did you then parlay that into a media career? When did you realize that maybe you wanted to do as a journalist, reporter, a media career? How did that happen?
So when I was in San Antonio, moved to San Antonio, and then went to all the TV stations because I had already graduated from college, from Southern Nazarene University with a communications degree. So I said, like, you know, I got my degree. I'm going to go find something to do. I like to work on TV and because I like photography. I like videography and all that stuff. I wasn't an expert on it, but I knew that was my good side. I knew that I have a good eye for framing things and on the rule of thirds that just came out naturally to me. So went to the Telemundo station. Well, actually I went to all the stations. I went to CBS, ABC, Fox, and I put my applications. I filled my application and gave my resume and every single one. No one called me. So I decided to go to Telemundo and I went into the building and I talked to the receptionist. And because it was in Spanish, I felt very comfortable, very confident. And I start talking to her and I say like, and she goes, so who are you here to see? I said, I'm here to hear Henry. Henry was the name of it was the production director or the guy that was in production, the manager. And I said, I'm here to see Henry. And she goes, oh, but this is your lucky day. He's just right there. And she pointed at him. So I turned around, said like, oh, thank you. And I just walked right to him. I don't remember if she was like, oh, wait, you have to wait or nothing. I just walked right to him and I say, hey, Henry, how are you doing? He turned around and looked at me. He goes, who are you? So like, I'm Oscar Monterroso. And, you know, my last name is pretty distinctive. It's not a pretty common last name. So he goes, oh, yeah, I remember your resume. And he goes, we don't really have anything for you right now. You know, there's no opening. There's nothing that, you know, kind of like, you know, killing the fire at that moment, right? But the reason he was outside was because they were moving some stuff out of the production office. There was some desks and chairs. And, you know, he said, there's nothing for work. I said, like, well, even if you don't pay me. And then he goes, and then he turned around and looked at me. So, well, then we have a lot of things that you can help us with. So that's how I started. So like, when can you start? And I said, like, right now. Okay, let's help with it. So I went in, introduced me to the staff and all that. We shake hands and started moving chairs, desks, and boxes and things like that. And that's how I started with Telemundo. It was about 6 months that I did about 8 hours a day without pay. It was just an unpaid internship. And it was from about 4 p.m. until 10:30. By the time the news schedule was ending, it was about 10:30, 11. That was the time that I was there doing things for production. After that, I will clock in at midnight and then work until about 8 o'clock in the morning in a marketing company. I will actually go in, check in, put headphones on and type whatever people were telling me that they needed to send a text message in a beeper to people outside. That was my work that I did overnight. But then I will go home, sleep, and then do my internship with Telemundo. Until I went and I, you know, kept working. And then Henry called me to his office and told me, Oscar, I have good news. I can start paying you for a part-time job. So like, sure. He started paying me $4.25 an hour. But I was already making money, you know, with what I like. So I was able to, you know, manage that. So now I kept the same schedule. And now I was making a little bit more money. Through that, over time, I asked them, can I now go and do my other hours at the news department? Went to talk to Victor Landa. He was the news director back then in Telemundo. And I said, can I go and learn? And he goes, sure, just sign this waiver. You know, something happens, we're not responsible. So I signed the waiver and I went out with photographers and they showed me how to operate those big, huge, you know, Panasonic and the Sony cameras, you know, with the bayonet lenses and stuff. Then from there, jump into learning how to edit tape to tape until they said, now we can hire you part-time in news. And now I was working full-time, part-time in one department, but part-time in the other one, but still full-time at Telemundo. After a couple of years, I was invited by the chief photographer for Univision because he saw me working, you know. He goes, Oscar, I like your style. Give me a call. We're gonna have an opening for pretty soon. I'd like to see your demo. Give him the demo, and it was a few weeks later. I was transferred from Telemundo to Univision, and Univision was the next level to, you know, I see Telemundo about right here. And then I see Univision level was about right here. And then from Univision there, I went to Fox in a kind of like plateau thing in San Antonio, then moved to Dallas, Univision Dallas. And that brought me to this next level in broadcasting, you know, learning. And everything that I learned from lighting, microphones, it was when I did my internship at Telemundo. And now is everything that I learned, I've been able to implement it into the business that is Tico Production. So I'm looking back at 21 years back when I started. And we, in January 5th of 2021, we celebrated 9 years at Tico Productions of being incorporated as a LLC. So actually, no, talking to you now, all these memories comes back and it's like, you know, makes me proud to a point, you know. It's like, oh my God, I've been so busy, you know, surviving or, you know, living life and going through pandemics and stuff like that, that, you know, sometimes you just forgot about all the stuff that I had gone through. And it's a good thing to go into back in memory lane.
Oscar Motoroso is the CEO of Tico Productions in Kansas City and Tico Sports. I'm John Schrader. How did you then get into the sports business, and how did you get into the business of not just producing Kansas City Chiefs games and announcing them, but you do other teams as well around the country? Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. And so we've been working with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now this is going to be the fifth year, the 2021, it will be the fifth year that we work with the Kansas City Chiefs. Between that and now, we have done work for the, back then it was the Oakland Raiders, it was the Jaguars, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Baltimore Ravens. And this year, the 2020 season, we started working with the Philadelphia Eagles as well. We've done for, you know, Nebraska. We have done the game for Nebraska. Oh, that Nebraska game was amazing. It was an experience that, you know, even with Kike, which is the, you know, play-by-play, I do the color commentary.
Puede dar las indicaciones, Adrián Martínez. Parece que vamos a jugar en tercera y ocho. A este primer cuarto le quedan 4:47. Tiene todavía como corredor a Robinson. Tiene dos receptores abiertos por izquierda, tiene dos receptores abiertos por derecha. Adrián Martínez le dice a uno de ellos que se mueva para ver cómo está la cobertura. Parece que la cobertura es de zona. Martínez con el ovoide. Va a salir Martínez. No, se la dejaba Robinson, que avanza por izquierda. Tiene el espacio. Se va la yarda número 5. ¡Anotación! ¡Cascas! ¡La hicieron los de casa! ¡Coméntame, Tico!
I mean, the whole thing was just exploded. That experience, being there, it was just amazing. So we do KU basketball and then KU football, and the KU football hasn't been the best for the last few seasons, but we were doing KU basketball, and it was last year for the we were actually bringing the equipment to the Sprint Center, which is now the T-Mobile Center, I think, in Kansas City for the Big 12. And when we're driving right down the street, that's when we listen on the radio that the whole thing was canceled due to the COVID and the pandemic. And we just did turn around and unpack everything. And, you know, since then, because all the changes and the social distancing, we were not able to call the games this season, but hoping that, you know, this next season is going to be completely different. But yeah, so it's, you know, KU, Nebraska, and then like a four other different teams for the NFL, and getting ready to go to the Super Bowl again, you know, with the Kansas City Chiefs.
So will you call that game in Tampa, or do you have to call that back home?
We will be calling it from Tampa. We'll actually have already, we got plane tickets, we're getting the hotels, and then, you know, coordinating everything with NFL. Make sure that we're going to have enough room, what is going to be the social distancing, what is going to be the protocols that we're going to have to follow. And yes, we'll be, you know, broadcasting from Tampa Bay. I mean, it's not every year that you actually have the hosting team playing the Super Bowl in their stadium. And the second year, the Chiefs actually got to the Super Bowl after being out for like more than 50 years, right? So yes, we'll be in Tampa.
Let's change gears a little bit here, and I'm going to ask you sort of a bigger picture question about the representation and the presentation of Latino, Hispanic people in the media. Generally, how do you think it is, and what is the condition of the representation of Latinos and Hispanics in media in this country?
The representation is good. If you look at the networks, you look at Telemundo, you look at Univision, those are very powerful networks that, you know, bring work to a lot of the people that like to be on the media. You know, if we talk about representation in the English market, like say ABC or NBC, representation is there, and it could be probably better for the bilingual reporters or bilingual photojournalists that like to go into that segment. And I believe that it's just going to be how comfortable you feel with yourself. I started in the Spanish market, and my last photojournalism job was with ABC, KNBC, Channel 9 here in Kansas City. And I didn't have any issues with it. It was even better because whenever we had to go and do stories in Spanish, it was like, tell Oscar to go. So I was able to go and then, you know, do the interviews in Spanish and, you know, relate to the storytelling and all that. It should just be, the door should stay open, you know, for anyone, not only for the Latino market, you know, for anyone that like to go into the news, because we all see things differently and we all have a story to tell.
Basically, it's about having a greater number of people, a greater number of experiences and backgrounds, and not just one or two points of view. And whether the young people are in the news business and speak Spanish and English or only Spanish or whatever, it's the idea that it's a much better representation of people if you have a broader view, a more culturally diverse view. Is that what we're saying here?
Yes. It will be like if you find someone that hasn't traveled and they had only lived in their own city. One of the things, if you want to be more, I don't want to say open-minded, but more culturally open and understand other people, you have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to get out of your boundaries. You have to go outside and experience. And that will give you the understanding. That will give you the best point of view, because now you'll be able to understand why, you know, we eat gallo pinto for breakfast in the morning in Costa Rica, you know, why the barbecue here in Kansas City. Plus, you get to enjoy a lot of really good food, right? But, you know, it's just that, you know, you have to open your mind. You have to make sure that you are not just right in one place. The world is big, it's huge, you know, and there's so many different cultures, so many ways of thinking. Just here in the United States, just here in Kansas City, you'll find a lot of people that have a lot of different way of thinking. And being able to understand others and be open-minded in that sense. And they're like, okay, I respect your opinion and you respect my opinion, and we're gonna be able to understand each other.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. And thanks so much for spending some time with us and giving us a little bit of an idea of what you do and where you've been. And we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Well, it's a pleasure. And I hope that I can get to see you soon, probably this season again.
I hope so. That would be great. I think there's certainly an audience for Spanish language broadcasting among colleges and professional teams more than it has been. So congrats on being that in that business. I think you're in that emerging business. So Oscar Monterroso is the CEO and owner of Tico Productions and Tico Sports in Kansas City. I'm John Schrader.